From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes the first of two messages entitled The Model Prayer, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Deliverance Not Limited. The text is Job chapter 5 and verse 19. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. Eliphaz in this spoke the truth of God. We may have as many troubles as the work days of the week, but the God who worked on those 6 days will work for us till our deliverance is complete. We shall rest with Him and in Him on our Sabbath. The rapid succession of trials is one of the sorest tests of faith. Before we have recovered from one blow, it is followed by another and another till we are staggered. Still, the equally quick succession of deliverances is exceedingly cheering. New songs are rung out upon the anvil by the hammer of affliction, till we see in the spiritual world the antitype of the harmonious blacksmith. Our confidence is that when the Lord makes our trials six they will be and no more. It may be that we have no rest day, for seven troubles come upon us. What then? In seven there shall no evil touch thee. Evil may roar at us, but it shall be kept at more than arm's length and shall not even touch us. Its hot breath may distress us, but its little finger cannot be laid upon us. With our loins girt about us, we will meet the six or the seven troubles, and leave fear to those who have no Father, no Savior, and no Sanctifier.
Peace that you bring.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his studies on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns is examining the structure of what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, the instructions Christ gave to his disciples in response to their desire that he would teach them to pray. In these familiar and beloved words, there is the secret to true prayer. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, true prayer begins and ends with God. If we would truly pray, we must first think deeply about who God is, a knowledge that can only come from His Word. In all prayer, God's glory must be paramount. So we see that prayer is the most demanding of spiritual undertakings. May the Lord teach us to pray. Now to conclude this first message entitled The Model Prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
The great American evangelist J. Wilbur Chapman told about meeting John Hyde, the praying Hyde of India. He had known the benefit of praying Hyde's prayer for his mission, and he asked the great prayer warrior, "Come pray for me." So we got together before God. He says, for 5 minutes, Hyde was on his knees, and he never uttered a syllable. And after those 5 minutes, he lifted his face to heaven, and Chapman said his face shone. And he cried just one thing at that time. Oh, God. Two words. Oh, God. lapsed again into prolonged silence. Meditation, inward approach to his father. Chapman said, then there came a prayer for me such as I have never heard. Then there came petitioning and supplicating such as I have never heard. God heard prayers for me that day, he testified. It changed his ministry forever. Let me tell you, invocation. Never be too much in a hurry when you come to God. Never be in such a hurry that you cannot stop on the threshold of prayer to address God in ways that are becoming to Him. It is a constant grief to me when I go to church services and I hear ministers who have spent years in studying all the various things that have to do with their ministry, and they have degree upon degree, but when it comes to entering the presence of God and leading their congregation to the throne of God, they don't have the slightest clue how to address their God in heaven. Is it any wonder our churches are in the mess they're in? Invocation. Time to address God in tones of worship. In words that are worthy of His great name. And then there's supplication. Having recognized God and who He is. Having been moved to deep thought and deep feeling and deep faith, as we have contemplated and worshipped our God, then there's supplication. Now you're in a position to ask. Now you'll understand what it is to ask. You'll understand what we saw, have been seeing in our Wednesday evening services as I have been discussing with you John Knox's great treatise in prayer. You'll understand, having seen in some fashion and having remembered who it is to whom you come, you'll understand what it is to moderate your asking according to His glory. Supplication. And then there's the great ascription at the end. That means, as you look at this structure, that prayer begins with worship and prayer ends with worship. It's a complete circle. It begins and it ends with worship. Starts with God. It deals with us and all to do with us in the light of God. And it comes back to God. And you know, if your praying doesn't complete the circle, I want to tell you, I believe you'll get up from your knees very dissatisfied and very defeated. Moreover, I think you'll get up from your knees as I have done, you've done it many a time. I think all Christians have felt this. And you'll say, is it not a waste of time? I've been praying, but I haven't been getting anything. You see, we're missing the point. The getting is important, and it will come in due time and in God's way. But the great thing about prayer is starting with God and bringing all that we are and have to God and finishing with God. It's the great thing about prayer. You'll notice that we don't get a look into this prayer except by implication when we say our in the first word, our Father. But once we have said our Father and we begin to supplicate, come to the supplications. Notice, Thy name be hallowed. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Isn't that the very opposite to what most people imagine prayer is? We run into God's presence and we say, I, my, mine, and all the rest of it. And there's not a thought of God, except as the producer of what I need. No, no, we have missed it there. That's not praying. Listen. It is His name. It is His kingdom. It is His will. And it is His glory that are the great subjects of our supplication. And it's only when those have been lifted up before our God that we really begin to pray for ourselves at all. Now, as we will see proceeding, and I'm not going to proceed that far today, but as we will see in proceeding, when we come to supplicate, yes, there is a great area here for praying for ourselves. And as we begin to go through this prayer, I think you'll see that when we get to pray for ourselves, what Jesus says here is covering all that we need to pray for ourselves. But before we begin to pray for ourselves, we pray. Does it sound strange? We pray for our God. In the 72nd Psalm, you've got a great messianic prophecy. And it has so bothered commentators and translators that I think they deliberately retranslate or re-understand it in some way. For him shall prayer be made. And I have read those who say it means to him shall prayer be made. But I don't believe it does. We're praying for Christ. Oh, it sounds strange that we poor creatures should pray for our God and Savior. Does He need our praying? No, no more than He needs our preaching or our praising or anything else. But what a privilege it is. And what a joy to realize it when we come to pray, that we are so caught up with our Redeemer in the work that He is doing in, for, and through His church, that we are praying, Thy name be hallowed. I don't want to anticipate myself, but I do want to tell you that that one petition, the Lord's Prayer, I believe has gripped my mind and has formed my praying more than any other single sentence in Scripture. Hallowed be Thy name. Declare the glorious holiness of Thy name. Oh, that God would get us to the place where that is the number one prayer of our heart. I believe that until we learn that prayer begins and ends with worship, that God is the great focus of our praying, not ourselves, that we'll never be able to pray for ourselves at all. Here is the structure of this pattern prayer. Time forbids that I go on to the features, because there are seven lessons in the features of this prayer that I want to mention. And I had the sort of sneaking notion when I was studying this that I would never get to those features unless you all agree to stay through to the evening service. But let's focus on the structure. It is structured. It is out of deep thought, deep feeling, deep faith. Starts with invocation, it proceeds to supplication, it returns to a great ascription of praise. Because our praying must have God as its focus. It starts, it ends with Him. Can you not ask the Lord this morning, Lord, teach me to pray? Will you ask the Lord this morning, teach me to pray? I don't want to go on forever, hardly able to pray, getting up from my knees, defeated, distraught, distressed. I want to be able to pray. Ask the Lord that. Go before God, even with what you've learned this morning. And I trust and I believe that God will answer your prayer. Pray with me as the weeks come upon us and we turn again and again to this passage. Pray with me that God will really come and teach us to pray. My mind was exercised this morning in one great, but to me an awful thought. And it adds great urgency to our desire and our need to learn to pray. I mentioned the 48th Psalm. And in that Psalm, the psalmist gave a testimony that I would to God we could give. And I have had to confess before God, Lord, that is not my testimony. He said, as we have heard, so have we seen. We have heard of the great things God did through Moses and Joshua and all the rest of those mighty men, but we have seen those same things in our own day and in our own ministry. That smites my heart. We also have heard. We have read the book of the Acts of the Apostles and we have somehow theologically manipulated it so as to relegate it to ancient history and excuse our own wickedness and carnality. It belongs to another age. You'd be a charismatic or a Pentecostalist to believe in the fullness of the Holy Ghost today. I'm neither a Pentecostalist nor a charismatic, but I have often got before God and I continue to get before God. And by His grace we'll see the answer. To pray, Lord, I want everything of the day of Pentecost that it is possible for me to have. We have heard of the great revivals of the past. We have heard of God moving and God working and God answering and God doing this, that, and the other thing. We have our stories from the great evangelists. We have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us what great things thou didst in their day. But before God, why can we not say with the psalmist, as we have heard, so have we seen. I believe with all my heart. And it's only when you and I are burdened and broken to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. And we get an answer to that. We learn to pray. And it's only then that David's testimony will become our testimony. And we will be able to say, God has answered. And as we have heard, so have we seen. May God teach us to pray according to the pattern of his Son.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.